Tonight we are coming to the end of our study of the book of Galatians as we look at Galatians chapter 6 verses 11 through 18. And this is what it says. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. These are Paul's last words to the Galatian churches. What occasioned the writing of this letter was that Paul, on his first missionary journey, went across the southern part of the Roman province of Galatia, preaching salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some churches were started, and then some teachers from Jerusalem came along claiming to be Christians, but preaching a message of salvation by works. They told the Gentile converts of the Galatian churches that they weren't truly saved unless they practiced circumcision. And also they had to live the Christian life by the laws of Moses. This is what we call legalism. And the teachers of it we call Judaizers because of the Jewish flavor of their legalism. There are other forms of legalism as well. Anytime you establish a system of standards or works or rules to keep with the idea of earning God's favor, that is legalism. Legalism is works righteousness, and that is opposed to grace righteousness. So the false teachers, the Judaizers, infiltrated the Galatian churches, teaching them to practice circumcision and keep the Old Testament law in order to be saved. Paul has been arguing against this teaching in the book, and now at the conclusion he has some final words to say about the false teachers and then a word about the cross. Verse 11 begins like this. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Normally Paul would dictate his letters to one of his assistants, and then at the end add a few closing lines and a signature to verify the authenticity of it. I don't know if this means that he wrote the entire letter to the Galatians, or if this just applies to these closing remarks. But the fact that he emphasizes the largeness of the letters he is writing is a demonstration of his concern for them, because he apparently was having difficulty seeing with his eyes. Back in chapter 4, verse 13, he made reference to a bodily ailment that he had when he preached to them originally. And in chapter 4, verse 15, he said, if possible, you would have gouged out your own eyes and given them to me, suggesting that the bodily ailment he was experiencing was probably with his eyes. Verse 12 and 13 says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. That has to do with the motives of the Judaizers. Their motives are selfish and dishonest. The reason they preached circumcision was to avoid persecution. What persecution were they trying to avoid? The persecution that Paul was being persecuted with. Who was persecuting Paul? The Jews were persecuting Paul. Paul preached that Jesus was the Messiah and that salvation was by faith alone and His substitutionary atoning sacrifice alone. That message got Paul persecuted by the Jews. So these Judaizers were trying to have Jesus and appease the Jews at the same time. So they preached a message of faith in Christ plus circumcision plus keeping the Mosaic law to be saved. They also wanted to boast in their flesh. What does that mean? It means that they were only interested in winning converts to their party. To them, converts were just statistics. They were interested in how many statistics they could pile up for their party. I used to hear about preachers who would go to conventions and brag to one another about how many baptisms they had last year. It's that sort of thing that Paul is talking about here. But then, they were also hypocrites. He says, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law." They are telling you to keep the law, but they are not keeping the law themselves. I'm not sure what he has in mind here other than the fact that nobody can keep the law to the extent that they can earn God's favor. Peter said at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15:10, "Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" The law was a yoke that Jews were not able to bear because no one can keep the law. So the Judaizers are motivated by selfishness and they were dishonest and hypocritical. In contrast to the Judaizers, Paul says in verse 14 and 15, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." I am going to come back to this later because this is the crux of the passage. Verse 16 says, "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." What rule? The rule in verse 15. "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. All who walk by that rule." When he says in verse 16, the true Israel of God, he is referring to the people of God. Who are the true Israel of God? The true Israel of God are the same ones that walk by this rule in verse 15. "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." The true Israel of God are those who have had a life-transforming experience through the cross of Jesus Christ and have therefore become new creatures in Christ. Verse 17 says, "From now on let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." That is one final statement of his allegiance to Christ. What are the marks of Jesus that he is talking about? He's talking literally about the lashes on his back that he has taken for the sake of his allegiance to Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 27, Paul said, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That's what he's talking about, the marks of Jesus. Then in verse 18, he closes with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Now I want to go back to verse 14 and 15 and make a few comments. Verse 14 and 15 says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." In saying that, he gets at the essence of true religion that counts with God. What kind of religion counts with God? First of all, religion that is essentially of the heart is what counts with God. The Judaizers were preaching circumcision, which is an outward thing of the flesh. It is true that circumcision was the sign of the old covenant. Circumcision as the sign of the old covenant has been replaced by baptism as the sign of the new covenant. But one way or the other, they are both outward rituals that have no value whatsoever if there is no change in the heart. There has to be a change in the heart. And that is what Paul is talking about when he says what counts is a new creation. The new creation is an inward work of the Spirit of God. It is made possible by the cross. Back in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Something happened when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I died. My old sinful, rebellious self died. My old self was crucified with Christ on the cross. Nevertheless, I live, but it is the new creation I that lives. The old self died on the cross with Jesus. The new self, the believing self, is so linked to Jesus Christ that His death is my death and His life is my life. That is what happens in regeneration. It is an inward work of the Spirit of God that is made possible by the cross. Secondly, religion that is essentially a work of God and not a work of man is what counts with God. The Judaizers were insisting on keeping the law. Keeping the law. The law is works righteousness. But no one can keep the law. No one can earn salvation by keeping the law, because the law condemns us when we fail to keep its righteous demands. When we try to keep the law, we realize that we cannot keep the law, and that makes us sinners. We are lawbreakers rather than law keepers. Since we are sinners, we are condemned by the law and under the curse of the law. What we need is a work of God, and that is what we have in the cross. The cross is God's way of reconciling sinners to Himself. So thirdly, religion of the cross of Jesus Christ is what counts with God. Paul says in verse 14, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Why does Paul boast in the cross? He says, first of all, the world did not think very much of me, so I have been crucified to the world by the cross. But I don't need to be worrying about what the world thinks about me. So the world has been crucified to me by the cross. Most of all, it is the cross where my salvation was accomplished. It is the greatest exhibition of God's justice. God is just. He must punish sin. He does punish sin. Sin demands payment of a penalty, and that penalty is death. That penalty has been paid by Jesus Christ. My sin has received what justice demands. It has been paid for by my substitute on the cross. That which my sins deserved has been borne, and borne to the full by Jesus Christ. He has borne the penalty that my sin deserved. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be reckoned the righteousness of God in Him. At the cross, I received forgiveness for my sins. At the cross, I was reconciled to God. At the cross, atonement was made. At the cross, the transaction took place whereby my sins were transferred to Jesus Christ and His righteousness was transferred to me. So He paid for my sins and gave me His righteousness so that I can now stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am no longer condemned. It was the great manifestation. It was the greatest manifestation of the love of God that He would send His only Son into this world to be a propitiation for sinners. The eternal Son of God became incarnate, lived a perfectly sinless life, keeping the law of God, set His face to do the will of God, and went to the cross to die for sinners. It was at the cross that redemption was accomplished for all who believe in Jesus. So we can glory in the cross just like Paul gloried in the cross. It is what counts with God. Let's pray.